You're listening to NativeTalk.net. Audio files are available online at NativeTalk.net, where you can download and listen anytime on your computer, mobile device, or join us live every week where you may have already won $10 million. Be a part of the program by emailing us, podcast@NativeTalk.net. And now, your hosts, Cliff and Brandon. Yep, that's what you're listening to. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Good morning and welcome to the NativeTalk.net radio program. We're so glad you could join us. Email. What's that?
Now featuring actual Brandons.
What's it been, like 2 months?
Oh God, I lost count.
Yeah, it's been a while. You've been out in Seattle for a while.
Yeah, and my delayed internet walked all over your intro there. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right. Email is podcast@NativeTalk.net if you want to send a comment to us, or you can use the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/NativeTalkRadio. So how was Seattle, by the way?
I didn't go to Seattle, Clifford. You know this.
No, you were out there diving and stuff. Visiting a reservation. You bought a house in Seattle.
This makes me so mad. All right, why do you do this? Probably because it makes me mad. Seattle and Tacoma are not the same place.
They are basically the same place. One,
no,
they're right on top of each other, basically.
No, and last time we talked about this off the air, you tried to bring up SeaTac as your example. That's the SeaTac is proof.
It's the metro area.
Are not the same, all right? There's so much of a difference between Seattle and Tacoma. They had to give it a name, SeaTac, all right?
Like the whole metro area is called SeaTac.
God,
Seattle, Tacoma.
I can't. It's Tacoma is different, and I don't even live in Tacoma, but yeah.
Right, you live in Seattle.
No. Seattle and Tacoma are different, and I was out in Tacoma area.
So, now, I think I mentioned the last time we talked, you recently got married. What's your new last name?
I chose to keep my last name.
Oh, that's different.
Although it's not it's only half of a joke because we thought about making a new family name.
What do you mean? An entire new family name? Like you were going to invent one?
Yeah, like that was on the table. You're totally allowed to do that.
What?
Yeah, you don't have to keep your last name when you get married.
So, wait, what was on the table here? What were you going to consider naming your family?
Well, we didn't really get past the discussion phase of whether or not we would think about it. Like, I didn't invest too much time thinking about something I would never do, so I was like, will I change my last name? Nah. So I didn't think about it very hard. Didn't come up with any examples.
Oh, bummer.
No, it hit the table. It hit the discussion table of, well, this is something we could do. Because Valerie didn't want to change her last name. That's my wife, if all of you who don't have your decoder
okay,
rings.
Why not?
Because her last name is her identity. It's what she's called herself. It's what she's told other people who she was her whole life. So she didn't want to, she didn't want to change that. She wanted to be her, not something new. But it was important to me, and she agreed that it was important enough to me that it was important to her. And so she did end up changing it.
Okay. Well, in Sydney, Australia, Grant Phillips has announced on Facebook that he not only got married, but he has taken his wife's last name. So, of course, you know what happened next.
He got ridiculed incessantly on social media.
Death threats.
Oh, right, yeah. Why didn't I think of the next logical step?
Phillips.
How did I miss that one?
Phillips suddenly found himself at the bottom of an avalanche of stranger abuse, wishing him a violent death. One man wrote, "Go kill yourself." Another was more specific, saying, "I hope you and your whore of a woman die in a car crash so that your genes don't continue."
Holy crap. It's just a name, people.
Others wished him infertility. Phillips and his wife had not really planned to make a political statement with their name change decision, saying that, he says, "My wife has no male cousins and is the last in her family's lineage with the name of Phillips. So it would die out after her, and I just thought, why not?"
That, so. I forgot to mention that. That's another reason why we considered Valerie's last name is because her father had no sons. And so, you know, she wanted to keep her father's name alive, too.
Oh, well, honestly, I joke about it, but I don't have, like, a horse in this race. I don't really care that much. I mean, I would care for me, but I don't care what other people do.
I just can't see the death threats. Like, what are we doing here?
That's so funny. All right, I got new native stuff. We're going to be talking about the
new native stuff. All right.
Yeah, well, we talked about before the Pacific Northwestern Indians, how they used to live and you know what they used to do in their day-to-day lives before mm-hmm. The European colonizers came in, right?
I think I understand. What you mean is you actually did more research. Now new native stuff makes sense.
Okay, so we're gonna be talking about the Plains Indians, and look at this stack of stuff.
Ooh,
here.
Wow, so, that's a lot of dead trees in your hand.
That's right. So we
little twigs, branches.
So let's see if you can see this and choose what you want to talk about. Now, I've got, like...
Ooh, that's a big responsibility, Cliff. Kay. Are you sure you want to trust me with this?
Yeah, now I have, like, daily life stuff, right, that was common to all the tribes, and then I have stuff on the specific tribes of the plains. So, let's see here. All right.
Okay, all right. So are you saying the top part is red... And the bottom part is red.
It's all red. Just pick a...
Oh dang.
This should be easy for you, man.
But there's so many choices. I have to read through them, too. Like, what? Why is the principal tribe crossed out with the Caddo?
Oh, because there wasn't enough stuff on them. Other principal tribes, when I was looking into it, that is the Caddo.
Okay, all right. Well, there's so many notes and notations and marks. How am I supposed to... Just why is star
pick
quilts
one.
And arts and clothing linked? Well, there's unanswered questions here. How can you expect me to make an informed choice?
Well, we'll talk about it. Arts and clothing and
no!
star quilts.
It's not the one I chose. I wanted meteors for 1,000.
Meteors?
Go on, move on.
There's no...
just move on.
All right. Yeah, the reason why I put those together is because they kind of, they kind of fit in together, right? So now you wear clothes, right?
From time to time.
And what do you know about the Plains Indians and what they looked like? Because this is what, I mean, the Plains Indians is what a lot of people think Indians everywhere are. That's what people think of because they got the teepees and stuff like that.
Yeah, because to me, the only things that I really know are historic representations, which can often be transplanted. You know, like somebody will just Google search a stock image of a Native American, and then they'll, you know,
why do you
might
have
see...
a string right in front of your computer? I can't see you.
To make you ask why.
Stop that.
But, you know, there's, you know what I'm trying to say? Like the stereotypical image of a Native American can be put into any history book or whatever, even if it's not historically accurate. So it's hard for me to narrow down what region looked a certain way because all I have to go off of is what's available to me as a child now and as an adult surfing the internet, right?
Okay, well, let me put it this way. You know that our tribe... We have we put like images of fish and stuff in our clothing and blankets, and we have like, you know, certain designs and stuff, colors we commonly use, like the red and the black, and you know, a lot of like blocky looking sea fish because that's where a lot of the sustenance came from, the sea, right?
Well, and I know that that's common in our tribe's clothing today, but I don't know if that. I truly don't know if that was the case, you know, 2,000, 3,000 years ago.
Neither do I. But I do know that the Plains people wove geometric designs, things like squares, triangles, diamonds, into their clothing many thousands of years ago. They put it into
That's
their
cool.
moccasins and all manner of their personal goods. They did not use beads. You know, and whenever you see like Native American stuff, you imagine beads, but they didn't use that. Instead, they used porcupine quills.
Ooh.
Isn't that cool? Because that's what they had available to them. You know what I mean? In our tribe, they did like the cedar weaving from the cedar trees because there were so many of them. Well, apparently porcupines were pretty prevalent down in the plains area. They used quill pieces as small as an eighth of an inch and as large as 5 inches long to create designs. They used natural dyes, so their colors were tan, dull white, bright red, vivid yellow, and black. And their stitching was so perfect and tiny that the end result looked like beadwork. So people thought it was beads. It wasn't. It was just porcupine quills.
That's amazing. That's incredible that they were able to use pieces that were so tiny.
I thought so, too. They also carved pipes out of wood, beautifully decorated, because, I mean, what are you going to do if you're not smoking, right?
Well, I mean, you ain't living.
They made paints and natural dyes using berry juice and other plants in nature. Most of their paintings were action scenes, you know, battle, hunts, warriors riding horses, shooting bows and arrows.
The fun stuff.
Well, I mean, what else are you going to do? Paint nature portraits? That's stupid.
Well, go look at your own Facebook pictures, right? Well, what do you post about? It's always the highlight reel.
Of course. So, I mean, if you have boring stuff out.
Yeah, I mean, you don't just like post pictures of your food or anything, right, people?
Hell no. Who would post pictures of food? That's just
dumb.
Come
on now.
All right. Now, the Plains People quill work spread from the woodland people all the way to the Plains people. They were eager to trade pelts for beads. Well, I mean, they wanted beads, you know. They just didn't. They used the quill work because beads weren't typically available to them. But the white man's beads came in many colors and were a lot easier to use than porcupine quills. So the beadwork. So the beadwork that we see today of the Plains people, that came after the Europeans arrived in America. Prior to that, porcupine quills.
I mean, if I were to choose between them, I would rather have the porcupine quill stuff just because I think it's cooler, right?
It's way cooler.
It's just more novel and amazing. But I mean, I'm sure that I imagine it might get a little pokey, right?
And never underestimate people's laziness. When you have the opportunity to use beads and you say, well, our porcupine quills looked like beads anyway, we might as well just start using those. They're way easier. Laziness knows no bounds.
Yeah, you give a human a smooth sandy path or a sharp rocky path, I'll tell you which way he's walking.
The sandy way, even though the rocky way would be more interesting, they go, yeah, but I don't want to do that anymore.
Right. Given the choice.
Unlike the woodland islands, where men did the beadwork, in the plains, women did the beadwork, as it should be.
Oh, come on, Cliff.
The women were proud of their work, and the men wore their clothes with pride. Okay, so the women created the clothes, and the men wore them, and they're like, look at what my wife did. My wife did better work than your wife.
Oh, it always goes to a competition with you.
Oh, right, because the world is not built on competition. I'm betting not that much has changed in several thousand years. The women.
All I know is that my beadwork would be better than your beadwork.
Wrong. The women might add 5 or 6 pounds of beads to a garment that was already heavy because it was made from animal hide. So it's kind of like, you know, when you're carrying something like that, it's sort of a source of pride, you know. I'm not tired. I can hunt wearing all kinds of stuff. They also.
Wow.
You know what?
No, I loved it. Excellent delivery. You really sold it at the end with all the pausing and the stuttering.
You know what? You suck. This is what happens when you don't actually script your show, when you're just off the cuff, like live radio, and
don't edit this stuff. This is what happens when we don't have intricate beadwork in our clothing. We find other things to argue about.
Mm-hmm. The Plains Indians also made star quilts. The Sioux Indians, as a matter of fact, they were patchwork quilts, and every piece represented a person. Not necessarily a specific person, just a person. And okay, that doesn't even make sense. It just represented a person. Oh, who? Oh, just anybody. But they all represent a different person? Yes. Well, but
which
they're
is
people
it?
That don't exist? Yeah, they're just people that I don't know. They're out there.
Are you sure it's not saying that it represents a specific person, but it could be any person? Like I could make this pattern that represents this other person, but it doesn't have to be for like your grandma. Like one certain design doesn't have to be for a certain type of person.
Okay.
It could mean for anybody.
Each piece represented a person, not a particular person, just a person. That's just like an ethereal like example of a person, like a fictional character. Could you just make people up and say like, "This is my buddy Jones"?
Or did you give them? Did they even have names? Did you even assign them to a specific person? I don't know. That's a weird one. I want to hear more about that.
I have to look about these star quilts. One thing I do know: every piece of the quilt was different. Nothing was duplicated, and every piece was necessary to make a whole quilt. To the Sioux, star quilts represented a community of individuals who have to work together to make a whole. So it's like kind of like an abstract, you know, this is what a tribe is.
Okay.
Right? And friendship was the thread that held the quilt together. Now, the Sioux were absolutely thrilled about their beautiful quilts. They used them as blankets and gave them as gifts on special occasions. So,
wow, that's a lot of work to give away as a gift.
Well, you know, remember we talked about our tribe or the tribes of the Pacific Northwest where they would just give things away because people would ask for them just to show I don't need it.
Well, and I'm not saying I wouldn't be willing to donate my time and effort like that. I'm just taken aback at the significance of how much. I mean, your fingers have got to get tired at some point, right? That's a lot of effort to put into something and then to just give it away. You know, I'm just recognizing the amount of generosity, you know, is what I mean to say.
Well, maybe people today should be less selfish.
Yeah.
Because there's way too much of that going on, right?
Truth.
All right. We got to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about Seattle, where Brandon has
God bless
going
America.
To move to. Where Seattle's original residents, the Native Americans, are homeless at a higher rate than literally anybody else. So we'll talk about that in just a moment here on the NativeTalk.net radio podcast.
You're listening to NativeTalk.net. We listen to the other guys. That's why we don't imitate them. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Hi, this is Cliff.
And this is Brandon.
And this is the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced.
Whoa, wait a minute. What?
What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure we're not the greatest podcast ever produced. I mean, have you heard of Serial?
No.
Cracked Podcast?
No.
Or Surprisingly Awesome?
No. Oh, okay. The NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced that I have actually listened to. So visit us online at nativetalk.net and tell your friends to download a few shows because, well, apparently we need it.
Well, yeah, if you ever want to measure up with podcasts that are actually good, like The Bugle with John Oliver or WTF with Mark Maron or Hardcore History.
Hey, this is Steve with thepeoplesammo.com. Do you enjoy the outdoor sportsman lifestyle? We've got the high-quality, reliable ammo you need from home defense rounds to outdoor enjoyment. So check this out at thepeoplesammo.com, where we hold these truths to be self-evident that all ammo is not created equal. Visit thepeoplesammo.com, where you can stock up on the quality rounds you deserve and shoot with confidence. Thepeoplesammo.com.
You're listening to NativeTalk.net radio podcast. Our conversations are never tested on animals. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
What's that?
I said it's rather admirable. don't test on animals.
Welcome back to the program. Message line, if you want to call up and drop us a line, 970-278-5791. And make sure to visit us online at nativetalk.net to download and listen to any of our past shows. All right, so as we mentioned, you live up in Seattle. And you've been spending the last couple of weeks up there, right?
No, as I mentioned, I live south of Tacoma. Well, I don't live there yet. I just bought a house. That's why I've been away, everybody. I bought my very first house. Woohoo!
I'm so glad that you've got a shack to call your own now.
God bless it, Clifton.
No, so have you noticed any, have you noticed a homeless problem in and around Seattle?
I haven't been around Seattle. I have been south of Tacoma and up to the Puget Sound.
All right. So in the Puget Tacoma, in the Puget Sound and Tacoma, Seattle area where you live, have you noticed any homeless folks laying about?
No.
Okay. So you're in the good part of Seattle.
The area where I drive to work, there I see like what looks to be like lower income people walking around in sweatpants and, you know, looking dirty, basically, right? You know, which I'm not looking down on those folk. I dress like that all the time. But I'm just saying there seems to be that type of people around me. And as I get closer to the city, I just see uppity, crunchy liberals everywhere, all wearing... they're wearing like flannels with well manicured goatees and glasses that have like super clear lenses that don't affect your vision.
Crunchy and it's like liberals.
They're stuck somewhere between 2008 and the 1990s. And I don't think they can figure out if their favorite band is Nirvana or Maroon 5. You know, like they just don't know what's going on.
Maroon 5 is big again these days.
Whatever.
All right. Well, in case you couldn't tell, this does bring us
Nirvana's big too. Still, just
not anymore. When is the last time Nirvana came out with a new song?
Well, clearly they're not going to come out with new music, but their old music is still out there. Go turn on any rock station in any major city, and you'll hear a Nirvana song. "Smells Like Teen Spirit" is coming up on that playlist somewhere.
I'm betting you're going to hear a Maroon 5 song way before you hear a Nirvana song
on a rock station.
On a general station, if you're monitoring stations. All right. Anyway, this brings us to the homeless pile.
Ooh, ain't got no home. I know place to roam. Ain't got no home. I know place to roam. I'm a lonely boy. I ain't got a home.
All right, now, can you guess what the percentage of Native Americans living in King County, which is, what, just north of Tacoma, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So that's King County, and that's like South Seattle, North Tacoma areas, your SeaTac invention. And in that area, you've got about 1% of Native Americans.
That was actually going to be my guess.
Oh, of the total population, 1% of them are Native?
Yeah, because you were saying, I think that was how you were posing that, is you were posing it as for me to guess. I really was going to guess 1%.
I'm surprised, because I thought you were going to guess something different. Otherwise, I would have given you a chance to guess.
Nope. No, that was the exact number, surprisingly.
Okay, the problem is, though, that while they comprise only 1% of the population, they're almost 6% of the homeless population. So that's a pretty serious disparity.
Right.
And I've got something here to show you, if you can see this. So Native American and Alaskan Native populations are homeless at a rate far higher than any other racial or ethnic group. So you've got what this says, 5%. Is
so what that's saying is of 100% of Native Americans, almost 5% of them are homeless.
No, of the total homeless population. So you start. Oh, no. You're right. So it's 6% of the homeless population, but it's almost 5% of all natives are homeless, whereas you've got only 2.6% of blacks are homeless, 0.8% Latinos, Hispanics. The whites are way down at 0.4%, and Asians are almost not homeless at all.
0.07%, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, in every metric, the Native Americans are suffering from homelessness at a greater rate and at a larger population.
In a world like today with such on social media, how people are being taken out left and right, you really shouldn't say phrases like the Asians. I just want to point that out.
Are they not Asian? Look, they break. We're talking about race and the way homelessness is broken down. Do you want me to how should I refer to them? As the yellow skin, slanty eyed folks? What's wrong with the Asians?
No, it's really easy to talk political correct, and it can sometimes save your ass. And so just especially if you're doing a podcast.
I had never heard that Asians was a disparaging term. What's wrong with that?
If you say the blacks, the whites, the Asians, it's basically it's a way of creating that. Okay, this is the argument of people that are politically correct, and these are the people that will take you to the ground, all right, through the internet. They look at it like it's creating a rift between ethnicities that is then able to be capitalized and being like turn people against each other. So you can say people of Asian descent, right? Because they're not Asian. They're born in America, most of them, especially in today's world. They're American. American isn't white. American isn't black. It's everything mixed in together. So they're not even Asian. They're American. They were either born or raised here, right?
Isn't that kind of assumed? It's sort of implied. You don't have to like...
Then why do you refer to them as the Asians?
Because they're originally from the region in which other Asian folks live.
So are Russians.
And when the Russians moved to America, they still refer to themselves as Russians.
But
the ones who were born here.
But okay, but even in that specific example, you're talking about a country rather than a race of people, right? Because you would what would you classify Russian people as? And see how I did it just there? I said Russian people. I didn't say
Eastern Europeans. They're Eastern Europeans. So if I said Eastern Europeans are facing homelessness at a rate higher than anybody else, people would understand that I'm talking about Russians, Romanians, Ukrainians. You know, Eastern Europeans.
But you would have to specify Eastern Europeans living in America. You couldn't just say Eastern Europeans and have people assume that it would be people here in America, because when you say Eastern Europeans, you picture people out there, right? So when you say the Asians are homeless, I'm picturing people in China living without food. But you, I don't know, man. I'm just trying to say, caution yourself, bro. Just don't just run around talking about the Asians.
Jesus Christ, Jason. Jason.
Brandon. Yeah. It's
all right. Anyway, in
back
a country. Okay.
Just
so
heads up.
So what do you feel if you were in charge? You're part of the government. You've got money. How do you solve the homeless problem? Because I read in Seattle proper, not far from the Space Needle, they've got like tent city up there, you know what I mean? So how do you solve this homeless problem,
man? It's a tough conundrum, because if you just give handouts, then they rely on the handouts and don't better themselves. If you make them complacent in their current life, they're just going to choose to keep living it. So throwing money at the problem doesn't seem to help, you know.
And is it fair to identify, you know, the homeless population and say that, you know, the natives are homeless at a much higher rate? Can you, and is it fair to target them and try to help them specifically because they're suffering from homelessness at such a rate that doesn't make sense?
I have a hard time with that, because I would need to look into the way they were able to collect the data on people to say they were Native American as a homeless person. Is it self-reporting? Are they doing anything to look at documents or lineage to say they're Native American? Because if you go around and ask people around the workplace, you know, what ethnicity or if they're Native American, all of a sudden the Native American population jumps up to 80, 90% of people out there got some Cherokee up there in their family tree, you know? So are we, you know what I mean? Like, are we asking
people? I'm going to assume that they are reporting them as members of actual tribes.
All right. I mean, if you go through that assumption, just for the sake of the argument, but I would want to look backward and be like, are we just listening to the word of homeless people saying they're natives, or are we checking up on this? Right. But just assuming that's all correct and moving forward
for the sake of this article.
For the sake of this article, I don't know, man. I'm at a complete loss. I would want to develop some way of having them. Your question was, could we target just the Native Americans?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if you're trying to solve the problem of Native American homelessness, but if you're just trying to solve the problem of homelessness, then why not target the whole problem?
Well, they are targeting the whole problem, but, you know, it would be nice, and you hear folks on our reservation talking about this, bringing people home, helping people, like, connect with their culture, trying to identify what is causing them to be homeless in the first place. Yeah. I've got, for example, Bridget Davis, who's a Native member, figures she was probably 10 the first time she started to fear going home because her mother struggled with alcohol addiction. She went to the Yakima Nation Reservation where her grandmother lived, and she typically slept alone in the park because she didn't want to go home. You can tell how horrible alcohol addiction is.
Yeah,
people get angry and, you know, yelling and stuff like that. So she would just sleep in the park. And then she became a mother herself and faced her own alcohol addiction anger problems and was on and off the streets for many years.
That's how it goes. You know, you live what you learn.
I'm just thinking, if I'm afraid to go home because my mother's an alcoholic, I wouldn't say, where's the bottle for myself? You know what I mean?
That doesn't start that way. It starts with, you know, friends and social environments. Alcohol becomes available. You try it out. You like it. Suddenly your problems melt away for the night. Sure, you wake up with your problems and a puke taste cotton mouth in the next morning, but at least the problems go away when you're drunk and hanging out with friends. And it's like, you're able to let bad things that happen to you, you're able to let it go in a way that you wouldn't if you weren't drinking with these people. So even when they treat you badly, you stay in that cycle. And if you grew up that way, it suddenly feels comfortable. And you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's dark, but it's true. And you kind of like it, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's pretty sad.
At least I did. I don't want to speak for everybody. It was a comforting place for me that is a really destructive cycle.
I imagine that's pretty true for a lot of people who suffer from those addiction problems. Now, up by Pike Place Market, which actually is in Seattle proper, there's a Victor Steinbrick Park, which is colloquially known as Native Park because so many Native Americans have stayed there. And so many have died there as well. So when the city rebid its homeless services contracts, which they do every year, there were 5 Native-led organizations who were awarded for the first time just over $3 million to prevent and end homelessness. Okay, so these are just, they're not necessarily targeting Native Americans, but they're Native American-led groups, so they're going to cater to that a culture, if you will. All right.
And how much money were they given?
Just over $3 million.
Okay.
Okay. The idea was that Native American organizations could best serve their own communities. They have a better understanding of how to tailor their care for the Indian people, says Michael Reichert, who is president and CEO of the Catholic Community Services and Catholic Housing. And he's also a member of the Minnesota Chippewa tribe. So this is a guy who works with the Catholic charities, and they help homeless folks in general. And he agrees that if you're talking about Native Americans coming into the Catholic charity, they just want food, they want a place to stay. But wouldn't it be nice if they had the option of going to a Native-led charity instead of the Catholic charity, because they can better serve the culture of their own people?
Well, yeah, especially if the Catholic charities are having mass or whatever, making you sit through a Christian sermon in order to get your help, which I don't know if that's true, you know.
Not typically. They're just helping people. It's just, look, the Catholic folks, they've got the Catholic charities. They're just helping people.
Okay, right? So they're not tying it in with prayer or religion or any in any way, shape, or form for people that are receiving help?
From what I've seen, no.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess that changes my mind, because I was going to say if their choice was, you know, religion laced help or something that.
But it doesn't have to be. Yeah, it doesn't have to be religion laced, you know, religion based help, in order to. What I'm saying is they're just very generalized. Whereas if you have a native led organization, they can be more specifically focused.
Yeah, so it kind of goes the other way. Right, that makes sense.
So Seattle, in general, they're pledging to house 7,400 homeless people by the end of this year, which is more than twice the total from 2017. And so the folks who get these contracts and they get the money, they have to hit quarterly performance targets. You know, you have to house and feed so many people to continue getting the money as they push forward trying to hit these goals of housing 7,400 folks. Okay. The problem is while you can cater what you do to a specific culture, you can't discriminate because of the Federal Fair Housing Act prohibits explicit set asides. So you can have like a native themed deal going on, but if a white guy or a black guy or, you know, the Asian folks show up,
Asian
you know what I'm talking about.
Okay? I got you.
If somebody shows up,
ethnicity, right?
Then they have to accept them. They can't discriminate and say, no, this is only for natives. Anybody can show up. But culturally, they're specific to the native population. All right. So, for example, you. You've got, hold on, let me tell you.
Yeah, because I'm wondering what they chose to do with the money, because that's where I hit my roadblock, because there's the whole, I don't remember what the phrase is, if you give a man a plane ticket, he flies for a day, but if you push him out of the plane, he'll fly for the rest of his life, or something like that, something about a fish or something.
Yeah, well, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime.
All right, my joke was better, but
I'm telling you the actual phrase,
and that's what I'm tripping about. If I give them a place to just get food or a place to sleep, suddenly I've given them their rock bottom comfort, you know. And so why would they want to raise up? Just like we were talking earlier, if you have a sandy path or a rocky path, which one are you going to take? Well, it sounds like we're making the rocky path easy to walk instead of changing the path. Not quite true,
because these leaders with these native charities say that they're developing and tailoring their services to a community suffering from high levels of substance abuse and long-term homelessness. Okay, so talking about Chief Seattle Club members, which is a you know, that this is what they're doing. 75% of them have mental health and substance abuse issues, which is why cultural connections are so important. Their clients participate in sweat lodge ceremonies. They do traditional beading, participate in talking circles, and tell their stories as part of their therapy. They don't refer to them as clients, they're members or relatives. You know, a lot of folks, they just throw people, homeless folks, into housing. But if you don't heal them and teach them things, how do you expect them to stay off the streets? You see what I mean?
That's more like it. Yeah, it's not just throwing money at the problem. It's trying to connect with the people.
Yeah, yeah. And so they don't have just this basic, general homeless program. They're trying to connect with people, you know?
It's not a warehouse of homeless people. It's more of a home.
Yes, exactly. And so they're not turning folks away, because if you're, you know, a member of another race and you say like, hey, I would love to participate in Native American beading and sweat lodges and stuff like that, you can absolutely go here and join in. But it's not geared towards their culture. It's for the Native Americans. So
that's awesome. I like it. It's better than I had imagined.
Cool. All right. Well, that will do it for us today. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with more stimulating Native Talk Radio, available online at nativetalk.net. We hope you'll share the show with your friends and send them to our website, like us on Facebook, all that good stuff. So have a great day. We'll see you guys next week.
This is NativeTalk.net Radio Podcast. When severe weather threatens...
After a rollercoaster winter, we're looking ahead to what spring has in store.
A global superstorm developing off towards the Atlantic Ocean.
Run like hell and be sure to take us with you. And grab your nets so we can go fishing.